to hear us.
He's a prayer answering God. And tonight we're going to introduce the speaker of the night. He's a man we all love and respect. And I've known him all of my life. And it's my father, Marvin Rutledge. And he is the most respected minister of my life. I've seen him during times of stress. I've seen him during times of carrying a heavy load. I've seen him during times of jubilee and happiness and times of excitement, but I've never seen him fail to walk with God. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate the fact that anyone in the community can call on Dad. And I've watched people call on him, people who were down and out, people who didn't even know him because they didn't have a preacher and they needed a preacher. I've never heard him say no. And I'm glad to introduce my father, Marvin Rutledge. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ren Rutledge. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I want to say I appreciate these young men helping us out in the service tonight and all the singing and everything that's happened. And it's not over with yet. We want to see someone give their heart to God tonight. If you don't know the Lord, you can know Him. He's available. You believe He's available?
Amen.
You believe He's the same yesterday, today, and how long?
Forever.
Amen. We're reading to you from the Acts of the Apostles, the 26th chapter. Now, I touched on this last Sunday morning as just a testimony when Brother Raines was with us. But I want to bring to you a message tonight titled, Lost Believers. And that may sound strange to some of you who may think that all it takes is just to believe. I'm here tonight to tell you that there's more than just saying, I believe. You must put your belief in action. Let me read to you, beginning at the 13th verse. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? Did you hear the question? Who art thou? Capital L-O-R-D. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I think we ought to stop and praise God that we can say the same thing. When the light came to us, when the light came to me, you see, I was in darkness. I didn't understand the things that I know now to be true. But when the light came to me, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Listen to this profound question. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And then he said, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen, and you may be seated. King, I know, said Paul, that you believe the Scriptures. But the king said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Now, according to Paul's word, this man believed the prophets. He believed the Scripture. But he was not yet persuaded to become a Christian. I'm telling you, you need to put your belief into action. May I ask you, how much do you believe? Some people believe enough to go to Sunday school, and that's about all. Some people believe enough to go to church on Easter and maybe Christmas, and that's about all. Others believe enough that they support the work of God, and that's fine. We need more of those. But that's not all there is to it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
If all we reach is your pocketbook, we're a failure. We're reaching for you and you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. If you find God, you'll not be unhappy. You'll be the happiest person around you. Those that don't know God, you'll shine like the noonday sun. Yes, someone said you'll stick out like a sore thumb, but we're not a sore thumb. Born again, children of the Most High God. You know, I'm thinking of some more people who believed in the 19th chapter of Acts. You see, they believed, and they were followers of John the Baptist. You that are familiar with your Bible, if you have a Bible there, just turn to the 19th chapter of Acts. And Paul came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he asked them a question that I'd like to ask you tonight. And I'd like for you to be honest. And if you don't have this experience, tonight could be your night. In fact, tonight should be your night. Be like Sister Gertie Bristow, who's sitting here in the congregation some time ago. 2 years? 3 years? 7 years. My, how time does fly. 7 years ago, listening to the Christ is the Answer radio program. And something about the glory of God. 7 years ago, heard the voice of Christ. 3 years ago, heard the Christ is the Answer program. And something told her, there's something going on at that church at 6th and Dakota Street that I want to be a part of. She came, brought her family, and now they're all in the kingdom of God, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Paul asked these people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, some people are just like the people that we're reading about here at Ephesus. They said, we don't know whether there be any Holy Ghost. We just don't understand. Did you know our community is full of people that still don't understand about this Holy Ghost? He said, have you received it since you believed? Now, they believed in John the Baptist's baptism. They had been baptized into John's baptism. They believed as much as they could believe with all the knowledge that they had. But you see, that's the reason God sent unto them Paul, that he might bring them out of darkness into a glorious light of the gospel. And you'll never be the same after you attend an apostolic church. You'll never be the same after you hear a gospel program coming from people that love and worship and praise God. It changes the course of your life. But let me say this, it's your move. After you've heard, it's your move. Don't be like Agrippa who said, almost. I believe the Scripture. I believe the prophets, he could have said. But he said, almost I'm persuaded to become a Christian. As far as I know, that's as far as he ever went. Almost is not enough. We have people that sit in our congregation service after service that get to the place, get to the position of almost. I have witnessed them sit with tears running down their face. Someone dear to me used to sit in the service crying nearly in every service, would support the work of God, would give. In fact, he would fight for the name of Jesus. I've known many people that would literally fight for the name of Jesus. Some of you fellows on the job, you know that there's men on the jobs that will argue with you. Some of them don't even have the experience, but they'll tell you right away that Jesus is God's salvation name, that it's the only name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. But you see, the problem is so many people know something about the Scripture and they believe something about the Scripture, but they're not putting it into action. And that's what we want you to do here tonight. Put it into action. Do something about it. Believe enough to support. Believe enough to attend. Believe enough to send the children. Believe enough to ask the blessing maybe over your food. All this is fine and good. But I'm reminding you tonight of the words that Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. That brings on the question, how? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Of course not. But an educated man asked that question a long time ago. But Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. If I would ask these people in this church tonight, and we have quite a congregation here, and I'd ask from the least one up, it might be like the little girl, Sister Crystal, who was a ring bearer in the wedding just last night. And she got so entranced in that wedding ceremony. As I asked the young man, Mark Guy, to repeat the vows, and the last part of the vows to be repeated was, until God, or until death do us part. Until death do us part. And Sister Crystal said it just about as loud as the preacher herself, until death do us part. And I'd like to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you tonight until you become a part of it. I mean until you get in this thing. You forget about your neighbors. And you forget about the church maybe that you've been brought up in. You forget about what maybe mama said or daddy said or grandpa said or grandma said. But you would say, I want to be a part of it. I'm willing to go all the way with the Lord. Let me ask you that have. Aren't you glad that you've gone as far as you've gone? Hallelujah. Now, when Paul came to Ephesus and he asked this question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, let me point out, if he had been baptized under John's baptism, he knew there was going to be a Holy Ghost. Because you know what John preached? He said, there's one coming after me. This is John's ministry. Who's greater than I. I'm not able to bear his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. The wheat he will gather into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, this was the message of John the Baptist when he was baptizing people. And if they had been baptized under John's baptism by John, or possibly by Apollos, who knew only the baptism of John, nevertheless, the ministry was, there's one coming after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, let me point out something else. Someone says, well, is the Holy Ghost necessary? Is it necessary to receive the Holy Ghost? Let me quote to you from the Word of God. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now, how many baptisms of spirits have you ever read about in the New Testament? Just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And according to Paul, it's by this one Spirit, baptism of Spirit, that you're baptized into one body. And the Scripture is very emphatic that that body is the church. I'm telling you, mister, it's necessary that you belong to the church. But you can't just join some flimsy organization and call that being born again. Raising your hand does not make you a Christian. I was in a funeral service some time ago, and a minister at the close of the funeral service asked for everyone to bow their heads and asked for hands to be raised that would accept the Lord as their personal Savior. And if he didn't stand there and count hands to report to his overseers, I guess, of how many converts he had, and all they did in a funeral service was raise their hand and accept the Lord as their personal Savior, I'm telling you folks, it's all right to make any gesture, but I want to see men and women born again. Know God for themselves. I'm talking about repentance, rock bottom repentance that causes men and women to turn from sin. Quit your cursing, quit your drinking, quit your gambling. Quit running around and doing the things that are wrong. And turn to God. Somebody said, well, I think some popular songwriter recently wrote a song, "We're Not Perfect," you know. And that just, a lot of people are laughing about that. Well, we don't boast about being perfect. Our perfection has to be in God. We're told to put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. But let me tell you something. Don't stand back in the shadows and say, well, I'm not perfect, but you may not be saved either. You understand what I'm saying? You say, are you preaching perfection? I certainly am. I'm preaching that men and women must be born again. After the flesh, no, we're not perfect. But in the Spirit, we can be justified in the eyes of heaven. Hear me. There is justification in God. There's sanctification in God. There is a baptism in the Holy Ghost that makes men different. They're not what they were. They've been set free. They've been made new creatures. In fact, the 8th chapter of Romans says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Say it. He's a old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. So, have you received the Holy Ghost? Let me ask you, every one of you, if you don't have this Holy Ghost bubbling up experience, like an artesian well, you know what Jesus said in the 7th chapter of St. John? He that believeth on me, on that great day of the feast, he stood and said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost at that time was not given, but we're living this side of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We're living this side of the burial of Jesus Christ. We're living this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does this mean to you? That the death of Jesus Christ gives you an opportunity to repent. God granted repentance. God granted repentance unto a Gentile world. God granted repentance unto a drunken world. God granted repentance into a dope addiction world. God granted repentance into a lost world. Now don't stay out there and say, preacher, I believe it. Do something about it. Accept God's grant. Accept God's grant. Turn from your sins. I beg in the name of Jesus Christ, turn from your sins. Not only did he die, he was buried. And this is a pattern of our baptism. We are buried with him in water baptism. And you know what's supposed to happen after you receive your baptism, after you have repented, and after you have been baptized in water? Just the same as Jesus came forth from the grave, You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I baptize people who have not yet received the Holy Ghost, the last thing I say, after I say, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and just as I put them under the water, I say, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know the reason I say it? Because Peter said it on the day of Pentecost, and the 11 were standing up with him. Amen. And because Jesus said, take this message into all the world, and because Peter said the promise of Holy Ghost salvation is to you and to your children and to them that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And as I preach to you tonight, there are some of you saying, that's the way I believe it, preacher. Preach it. But what are you going to do about it? Now, I'm going to tell you, the saddest thing I know is for someone to go home lost from an apostolic church. You know, they may go home from the beer joint lost. They may go home from the moving picture show lost. They're certainly not going to see very much of spiritual things there. But to come to an apostolic church and to feel the presence of God, don't go home lost tonight. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. We've got, I don't want to call names, but if I'd call some of the names of you that's been sitting here over and over and over. And then if some tragedy happens to you, like has to some of our friends recently, and then you're brought into the church and we have to do your funeral, and I just don't know how or what I would say. You see, I've got people in this congregation that is just as regular with their tithing as any saint here. I've got people in this congregation that's just as regular in attendance as any Holy Ghost-filled saint here. If you'd ask them if they go to be admitted in the hospital and they have to fill out what church affiliation or church preference, they will gladly say Apostolic Church. They believe it. They accept it. But too many times they are still lost. I talk to different people sometimes who inquire about our membership. How large is your church? 200 or so members. And they say, that's a small church. But we don't count every drunkard and harlot and beer drinker and cigarette smoker and tobacco chewer and pipe blower and rag chewer. We're preaching repentance and baptism and the Holy Ghost and a new life. And don't sell yourself short tonight. While we stand, we're going to give you an invitation to seek God. You ought to seek God and seek Him with all your heart. Put your trust in the Lord. Hear me? Put your trust in the Lord. While we're saying, give your heart to God tonight. Who'll be first to come down here and give yourself to God?
God had searched through heaven.
We're so glad to see you. Come on. Somebody else come.
Find
come and pray with this woman. Pray with this man. Somebody else come. Somebody else come and give your heart to God.
The supreme sacrifice.
Somebody else coming tonight.
That was needed.
Oh, hallelujah. I feel God in this place. Just yield to her. Yield to God, sister. Just yield to God.
For you and me.
Oh, revival. Revival. I feel the spirit of revival. It's another one. Join us in this altar tonight. Would you come right now? How about a young man? How about a young lady? How about it? Come and give yourself
and
to God.
Had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever.
Let's all gather and pray. Come on. Everybody gather up front and let's pray and seek God. Come right on. Come right on.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary.
Come right on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
And had it not
come on, pray
been
to God. That's it.
For the aura.
Hallelujah. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of God.
Had it not been for a call Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Then forever my soul belongs. But I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he never called to heaven's angel. From these hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man.
Call on the Lord, folks. Call on the Lord. Everybody pray and believe God.
Then forever my soul would be lost. But I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he never called to heaven's angel.
Call on him, sister, with all your heart.
Pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been,
that's it, praise him,
for
praise
the
him, praise
old rugged cross,
come on,
had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul.